Morning, councillors.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Notice of the annual general meeting of council, Tuesday the 9th of December 2025, to councillors. In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, notice is hereby given that an annual general meeting of Central Highlands Council is scheduled to be held in council chambers, Bothwell, on the 9th of December 2025, commencing at 9 a.m. with the business of the meeting to be in accordance with the following agenda paper. In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, Part 2, Division 1, a notice of the meeting was published in the Mercury on the 24th of November and the 1st of December 2025. The General Manager's certification, pursuant to Section 65(1) of the Local Government Act 1993, I hereby certify, with respect to the advice, information and or recommendation provided for the guidance of Council in this agenda, that A, such advice, information and or recommendation has been given by a person who has the qualifications or experience necessary to give such advice, and B, where any advice is given by a person who does not have the required qualifications or experience, that person has obtained and taken into account the advice of an appropriately qualified or experienced person. Section 65(2) forbids counsel from deciding any matter which requires the advice of a qualified person without considering that advice. Dated Bothwell on the 4th day of December by Stephen Mackey, Acting General Manager.
Mayor, point of order, please. I wonder if we can have taken... we've got, between this agenda, the closed agenda and the ordinary meeting, we've got a lot of business to get through today. I wonder if we could take as read those items that can be taken as read. For instance, just asking if there are any conflicts of interest to be declared. That sort of... that just...
carry on,
evening.
Yeah. I can't see a problem with that. Can you, Steve?
No.
Okay. Thank you for that, councillor. Okay, the meeting commenced at 9.
Do you have a heartbeat?
There's an audio recording disclaimer. I won't go through the whole lot of that. The Mayor advises the meeting and members of the public that council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on council's website in accordance with council's policy 2017-50. The Mayor also advises members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of council meetings without prior approval being granted. Acknowledgement of country. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Tasmanian Aboriginal people, past, present and future. Conduct of council meetings. Central Highlands Council takes safety seriously. We have a duty to ensure that we provide a safe workplace for our employees, councillors, contractors and members of the public whilst present at council workshops. These premises form part of council's workplace, and it is expected that everyone who attends council meetings will behave in a polite and respectful manner. People should refrain from using offensive or derogatory language or comments and not be aggressive, threatening or speak in a hostile manner. Those present is myself, Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Miller, Councillor Archer, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Trivett, Councillor Hall, Acting General Manager Stephen Mackey, Zishan, our Finance Manager, and Katrina, our Executive Officer. Obviously, there's no non-public attendees, and there's no apologies because we're all here. The Declaration of Pecuniary Interest and Conflict of Interest by Councillors and Staff. Declaration of
Pecuniary... Yeah, and what Councillor Meacham was saying is just read the heading.
Oh, I'd be happy with
without
that.
The rest of the detail. Yep. Is that correct?
Yes, that's
so that's acceptable.
Yep. Would I need to move that again, Steve, at the subsequent meetings? I would, wouldn't I?
No.
No? Okay. Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Hall, yeah.
I've got a conflict of interest in 12.4 in the ordinary session of the council meeting.
We'll declare it in, maybe, John, wouldn't you?
I'll declare it at the council meeting.
Will I?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Thanks, Councillor. Yeah. Confirmation of draft minutes, annual general meeting, 10th of December 2024. Mover, please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy. Any comment, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Cassidy? No. Councillor Laws? Close, Councillor Honour?
Yep, everything's fine.
Thank you. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Is there anyone not in favour? No, everyone's raised their hands. That's carried. Thank you. Okay, it looks as though we have Kate Walker, Central Highland Annual Report.
So we've got that, item 4, Annual Report.
Sorry?
Move and second for item 4.
I thought we just did.
No, that was the previous.
That was the AGM for last year, no?
Oh, sorry. Councillor Major moved. Who seconded that? Councillor Miller? Councillor Meacham, any comments?
No comments. It's quite, looks pretty comprehensive. And I do acknowledge the responses to Kate Walker's question. That's fine.
Thank you. Councillor Miller, any comments as seconder?
No, that, as Councillor Meacham said, it was very comprehensive. It took a big go through, but it was good.
Councillor Laws, any comments?
No.
Back to you, Councillor Meacham, to close.
No, that's final.
It's okay. Good. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Carried. Thank you. So that's quite a report from Kate.
Other business?
Yep.
Of course.
Number 6 is other business. Any other business?
What if all that stuff's down for?
Any other business?
No.
Business? No? Okay. Number 7. We will close. Thank you very much. And we'll close at 9:10. Very good. Alrighty. Notice of council meeting on the 9th of December. I won't reread that all again. You've taken it as read. I've just read it earlier with the AGM. So if everyone's happy with that, we have the order of business. Commenced at 9, what have we got there, Katrina? 9:12. Audio recording disclaimer. I have read that a moment ago. Acknowledgement of country. I have also acknowledged the conduct of council meeting also. Present is the same as earlier at the AGM, all councillors and Zijin and acting GM and Katrina. Obviously no apologies. Consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. Do we have a move for that?
There are none.
Oh, there's none. Okay, that's good. Three, declaration of pecuniary interest and conflict. Do we have any declaration of pecuniary or conflict by councillors or staff? Councillor Hall?
12.4.
Councillor Hall is
12.4.
Any others?
Me, in regards to the closed meeting, I'm not sure what number it is because I do not have a copy of the closed agenda. There's a reason for that, then.
Yes, there is. Okay, so this is Councillor Hall and the acting GM, Stephen. Anyone else? No? Oh, very good. Number 4.1, confirmation ordinary meeting, 18th of November. Move it, please. Councillor Miller. Councillor Honour. Comments, Councillor Miller?
No, it's fine.
Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Laws? Okay, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Carried. Receival of draft minutes of the audit. Move it, please. Councillor Orr. Seconder, Councillor Hall. Any comments, Councillor Orr?
No.
No. Councillor Hall? The councillors? No? Okay, please raise your hands in favour. That is carried. Business arising is number 5. The report by Katrina. Thank you, Katrina. Closure of the meeting to the public.
Can I speak?
Sorry?
I'm moving a second to number 5.
Oh, did I not do that? Sorry.
No.
Move the Councillor Machen, second to Councillor Miller. Comments, Councillor Machen?
Just to presage, I welcome this progress on motions passed and decisions made, but I'd like to see that expanded to progress against the capital spending items in particular, maybe on a bi-monthly basis.
Like the status report we used to have.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I recommend that we move towards doing so.
Just have a status report printed of how we're going.
Can you just explain that a bit?
Oh, simply this, that what I'd like to see us avoiding is having capital items that are in the budget that don't get fulfilled. You know, if we're conscious that something is in process in the capital works program, that's good. A bi-monthly report.
I actually see that as coming in under the financial report, so that's what we should include in the financial report.
I don't mind where it is.
I don't see it, but if it's there, I think it fits under Z's financial.
So we do provide on monthly reports capital expenditures based on the building infrastructures, plans, that kind of things. But we don't actually itemize the projects on that basis. We do provide itemized only when it's a bigger project comes in. But this financial year we haven't started any bigger project yet. As I actually do provide previously in my written form documents, always mention that actually which project has been complete and how much it's cost to that one. But until now we haven't actually have started any big project yet.
And I'll come back to this in relation to one of the agenda items today. It'd just be good to know whether in fact it's going to be fulfilled within this financial year or if it's going to be pushed forward to the next financial year. And as I say, a concise report on a bi-monthly basis would be really welcome.
Alrighty, Councillor Miller, you're the second.
Only two things on that was the 17.1, 17.2, said let us send. Who sent the... You did the letters, no centre.
I sent it.
You did?
Yep.
Okay. So there's... No, that's fine. I just said letters centre, so I didn't say it was thank you, that was all.
Councillor, all right.
So I need reminding the dog management policy is out for public discussion. And when does that close?
Yeah, I can't give you the exact time, but it's in February.
Oh, yeah, not even.
We have a response in regards to it at this point in time.
Oh, right.
Did I tell you a 35 or 45 pages? it's a long
time. Too many is the answer. Maybe, yes.
What, they're all complaints or something?
I've just only very quickly gone through all that. Don't worry.
It's not imminent. That's what we're questioning.
No, it's not. Well, we realise the Christmas period. That's the reason why we put it out for a longer period.
Councillor Archer.
Just whilst we're on the dog management policy there, we've leased a property in the Doon Valley and have had 30 sheep killed in the last couple of weeks with out of control dogs. And we've sought the assistance of, I thought it was our dog lady, but it's the Doon Valley dog lady, and she's been very helpful going and canvassing adjoining property owners, giving them concerns and warning, and so far two dogs on the block have been destroyed. Now whether they were responsible or not, you never know, but that's a sad consequence of people not keeping their dogs. But the damage to the sheep's been horrendous, and disemboweled, still alive, all this sort of stuff. And so I think, you know, we do need to take the dog policy very seriously.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, Councillor Meacham, you're the mover. Would you like to close?
That's fine. Good discussion. Thank you.
Okay, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That is carried. Closure of the meeting. Mover, please, to go into the close. Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy, I think it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Any comments about going into close, Councillor?
Yes.
Okay. Councillor Cassidy is the seconder. No. Councillor Laws? Those in favour, please raise your hands. That's carried. We'll go into close meeting. Alright, councillors, we'll reopen at 9:50. Reopen to the public. Public release and morning, Steve. Public release announcement. We've covered that. Have we confirmed?
Oh, no, you need to read through.
What did I do with it? Wrong paper. There we go. Okay. The public release announcement is the considerations of matters for disclosure to the public. 2.1 is the minutes of the closed session of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 18th of November 2025 be confirmed. 4.1 is the notice of motion by Deputy Mayor Allwright that the information was received. 4.2, the Stephen Black and our consultants Proprietary Limited, that the notice, the information was received. Thank you. Notification of workshops held, nil. Future workshops, I believe, is the 3rd of February. That was discussed this morning, so we'll lock in the 3rd of February 2026. Public question time. Is there anyone in the gallery, Stephen? Have you have any questions for the council? Or I can't see you from there. Do you have any questions?
As it happens, Lou, no, I don't.
Oh, very good. All positive. Thank you. 11, deputations, presentations. 11.1, petitions, nil. 11.2 is deputations from Adrian Payne and James Verrier. State growth, is that happening, Steve?
No.
No.
They turned up yesterday.
It wasn't very early. Didn't bring a bed, though, did they?
We did have a bit of a discussion because I was highly confused as to why they were here and then discovered that it was for today, of which they said they couldn't make.
Makes a change from the bed late.
So basically we had a discussion with them about the Highland Lakes Road between Melton Mowbray and Bothwell, and more specifically in regards to the wind farms and the fact of the effects that has on us, and hopefully some, you know, overtaking or lay-bys so that people can get backwards and forwards or past them. They took that on board, which was interesting. Shannon Rise Bridge, they had absolutely no interest in that at all, although I've already had a meeting with Mark Shelton, and I've sent him some details in regards to that because he is interested in that.
At the weekend, they actually painted white lines on the bridge.
Yeah, all right. Mm. Well, that's a help.
To show that it's narrow.
Mm. Okay, that's something.
Mm. 1 year late, by the way. They promised that before Christmas last year.
It might have been that they were coming yesterday or supposedly today that some of these things might have occurred.
Yeah.
Marlborough Road, we had a good discussion with them about that. To say they were enthused would be a bit optimistic, but at least they were interested. So, school bus run, i.e. I had a discussion with them as to why adults can't use the school bus run. They gave me the spiel that I expected as the fact that, you know, the occupational health and safety, all those risk factors. After further debate, they decided they would go back and have a bit of a think about that one. They're also going to have another think about the Area Connect bus service, which has been taken out. One was aware that it had happened and the other person was not aware that it had happened. Lyle Highway going up the hill, putting some lay-bys or passing bays up there.
Up which hill?
Hamilton.
Oh, up the Clyde Hill?
Yeah.
Well, that's been a real one to do that.
Yeah, well, you know, we've had that discussion with them before. You know,
yeah.
Because it's been mentioned. Speed limits and stop signs, High Street and William Street, as of next Monday, is it, Councillor Cassidy? The speed limit on the Highland Lakes Road will change past the school, so it'll go past for the tip. It'll be 80 kilometres an hour.
That's good.
So that will be, it is in place. Councillor Cassidy got a letter yesterday. Something completely nothing to do with them at all, so I just noted it down so I can remember. I've had a discussion with the Department of Health and the library in regards to the social hub free lunches that Sally Embry was doing.
Mm-hmm.
They were quite clear that it wasn't covered by the library, it wasn't covered by the health department, and no one was interested. After about half an hour's conversation, they got to the stage they were sick and tired of listening to me, so they're going to look at it. So hopefully something will happen.
Councillor, I had a question.
Now, with the 80 kilometre an hour being moved down, does that mean the town boundary has moved out?
No. No, town boundary will stay the same.
Right, because mail deliveries with Australia Post, if it's 80 and under, they've got to deliver.
Because
they're classified as in the town boundary if it's 80 kilometres an hour.
Well, the 80 kilometres will go out to the past the tip.
Yeah.
So it looks like you'll be delivering more money.
No.
Okay.
I just won't tell them.
I was wondering there if we can get the 80 limit moved to the Mount Distillery. It's very helpful.
Oh, that's a fair way.
No, that's not very far.
We actually tried.
We don't deliver the mile that way.
We tried to get it past the pub with no beer corner. In fact, until you get to the straight stretch.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, but they not interested at all.
Councillor
Cassidy. I've already spoken to Stephen on the issue that. Just past the pub with no beer, as you make that like S turn there, you know, folks, I would say 9 times out of 10 across the double white line, because it's 100 kilometers per hour and just going way too damn fast for that curve.
It's an unnecessary curve as well.
Say again, please.
It's an unnecessary curve.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, that was the reason I really wanted, you know, to get it moved out there. And they can't be convinced because there's no accident statistics. It's going to take a death or something like that. You know what they call that, a blood priority, you know. So it'll take an accident before they, serious accident or death. There's already skid marks there where someone's gone off the opposite side of the road there on that curve because it's way too fast. I do it at 85 whether in either vehicle that I'm driving, you know, and, I find that's adequate.
Councillor Cassidy, when the new part of the road was put in, and I work with Rean Hitting, that was looked at, and apparently they thought it wasn't necessary, but we can always revisit and try to get something done there because it is dangerous.
Well, if we can't get them to do the Shannon River Bridge, and we can't get them to do the Marlboro Highway, we're not going to be able to get them to do that stretch of road there. Just, they've got a closed mind on it, and they've got other budget priorities. So.
Never say never. Alrighty, back to you, Steve. Sorry, we're just
Yeah, look, the thing being is that I think I've picked up the bulk of the issues that council had in those areas. They're quite happy to come. You know, we'll probably have to give them 3 dates to get them organised.
Tell them to bring a beer.
Councillor Meacham has something.
Steve, many months ago we passed a motion looking for a speed reduction through Myena. Any progress on that?
Yeah, no, I raised that with them as well. Not at this point.
The passenger, the pedestrian traffic between the lodge and Tyson in particular, with the narrowest of shoulders, really demands some action.
Yeah. We've had conversation with them and forwarded them a letter in regards to it. So when it goes to transport, it just seems to go in a deep hole.
Are you saying it's in abeyance or it's a no?
Speaking to them yesterday, they weren't that enthused. But in regards to the Department of Transport, I haven't got a response back.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Miller and Cassidy.
Did you bring up the three that I, Tarleton Street, and I've noticed the other day too, there was a tractor just after the Meadowbank turn off, and he was getting one of the big poplar trees off the road that's fallen again. Now every year we have those poplar trees, and they're on the state growth side. They're going to kill somebody one day. And did you bring that one up?
Not the trees, no, but the coming down into Hamilton itself. The bend, sharp bend there, raise that.
Because the history behind that one was I had a phone call from Dave Brady, and lately he's been waking up in the night time with scripture breaks, and one night it was a complete bend, whereas I think it's more like coming down than the other night that I did. It was more like they're coming down at a speed, and they're seeing one road, the grey street go down.
It's been ongoing for years. Yeah,
and they're screeching the brakes, and one of them missed the turn off completely. But I was wondering if we could get those. I know there's an arrow sign there, but it's inadequate because it's people don't see it, especially in the fall. And I know that there's a sign there that says a little road and then the major road. But again, in fog or at night time, people don't see these things, so we need to be able to do that.
But the 80-kilometre sign is just back from there, isn't it?
Yeah, you should have the 60-kilometre sign.
That's what I mean, because it's 80 in that section. Yeah,
so it should be the 60, but we all know they don't do 60 going through there, especially at night time. But the Tarleton Street one, my answer to them was that whose name do I give to these people if they get hurt on that because you haven't done your job right to sue? Because
that's the mirror.
That's the mirror. And I think the trees that are on the side, I think they're in Daniel's land. Daniel's property. On the bridge, like as you...
Right.
As you come down Tarleton Street and you go towards Hoover, and there's all these hawthorn trees.
Oh, I'll talk about that. That's his boundaries. I think those trees are on the state coast.
Are they? Well, yeah, they need to go. Yeah, they need to go.
They're all over the place. There's a massive willow tree that blocks... It's on hydroland that blocks the Dunrobin Bridge, so you can't see it. And you can get to the bridge, and then the car's halfway across it.
Perhaps this is another one.
Someone ought to go and visit it.
I'd like to see.
We'll take this to workshop because I think we could have quite a few issues arise. Councillor Cassidy.
So that's what I was going to suggest, Madam Mayor. Since we're having a workshop on the 3rd of February, state roads, they can only tell us no so many times before they're going to finally cave in. And I think that if we workshop this on the 3rd of February, when we have the workshop, then we can bring it to that February meeting to write. I can put a notice of motion up, or one of you guys can put up a notice of motion to write again to state roads and what's her name, Elizabeth Maroney, and just pester the hell out of them until they cave in.
Councillor, all right, and then we'll go back to
Steve. So I was just wondering whether some of these comments have ended up in the Steve's budget submission to the government.
Shannon Rise. That did. That did.
Yeah, a lot of the
predominantly ones. The bulk of the issues were generic in regards to the highways.
Okay, Stephen, back to you. Is that it?
Yeah, no, look, that's covered.
Thank you. Notice of motion.
That's not by you, I take it.
It's not by me, it's by Councillor Meacham is the mover. So Councillor Meacham is moving 12.1.
It's not carried you.
Second, no, it's not me. Yeah. And Councillor Cassidy would be the seconder. Alrighty. Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to this?
I'd just like to note this has been a really successful instance of community development. And credit to my councillor colleagues, Mayor Triffitt, and to Councillor Honour too. You do these things not without risk, and we're in the middle of the supposed Telstra shutdown at the moment. In fact, we're finding that our phones are continuing to work. So I think it's that classic case of under-promise and over-deliver. So they say 4 days and it may well become two or three. We've done everything we can to cope with contingencies. As I say, it's never entirely without risk. And I think Councillor Honour may speak to what sort of pushback she's heard from the community, but generally I think people recognise that the shutdown is necessary to get the services that we want. And the special committee, we need to be looking at post the work being done, making sure that in fact it's delivered what they've promised.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy is the seconder.
So I don't really have much to add to David's point, except for if folks recall Phil Goodwin, he's the guy that really pointed out the deficiencies of the Pelham Tower along the while. So maybe we could get him up there afterwards with his detection gear to determine, you know, if they've actually, if Telstra's actually delivered on what they said they were. It's just a thought, you know. Mm-hmm. Perhaps we can discuss this at a later time.
Okay. Councillors, and may I just add that thank you, David, and Councillor Meacham and Councillor Honour, all you've done up there as well. And I think we should send something to Kate Tribe as well, with all the work she's put into this. It's important.
Michael too, for that.
And Michael Walls, yes. I think
he's home now, but he's very unwell.
Is it? And we'll get correspondence sent to them, thanking them.
Thank you.
Councillor Laws, Councillor Hall.
It's just a pity on the day when I was up there that they could have said to everybody in the hall, you know, these upgrades, we're going to do them, but you guys are going to expect a few glitches.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been a little bit more clearer than, you know, the community at the moment beating the bushes.
Mm. Councillor Honour.
Well, that would have been all right, except I know of at least one family who knew nothing until I dropped the sheet of paper into their letterbox, which they don't have mail delivered, but I stopped and when the children put it in for me. They knew nothing at all about the outage, but they work off Barrenteers, so we, between us, we assured that everyone, I'd done all the ones up Watermana Road and from steps up.
Okay.
Made sure that they had the letter.
Rightio. Any other councillors' comments? Alrighty, I'll go back to the mover to close. Councillor Major.
Oh, thank you. As I noted earlier, the special committee that we're part of, we will do the follow through. Probably be able to give a follow-up report, maybe as late as February. This is sunset in February or March, isn't it? Mm. The next special committee. So, probably February.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. All righty, so I'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Is there anyone against? That is Councillor Archer. A recommendation. Councillor Archer's moved. A seconder. Councillor Cassidy. All righty, Councillor Archer, over to you.
Mayor, it just seems to be a long time and not getting a response out of the government. So I'd just like to see the letters that were sent, the dates they were sent, and my understanding is we haven't had a reply at all. What it does is it allows individual councillors to start rattling the cage. We can say, we sent you a letter on the 11th of May, for instance. Here it is. What's going on? You know, we're entitled to be treated like every other citizen in Tasmania. And certainly Central Highlands seems to be low on the list of priorities, particularly around election time. If you look at election promises for the Central Highlands, they were very thin on the ground. And we've got a municipality next door, $5 million is my understanding for sporting facilities. We've got Gretna right on the boundary of our municipal boundary, not 1 cent. No interest, no follow-up. Mayor, I'm just keen for you to table the correspondence, which is going to give us the start date on these things. Can you please provide the letters to us when they were sent, and then we can go back as individuals if necessary. We've all got our own, I guess you'd describe it as networks, and I think this is too important. I note that when we had the cabinet meeting with the previous government at Maina, it was very successful. We had numerous follow-up.
It was
a great initiative. We not only developed personal relations with the ministers involved, but our issues seemed to be on their agenda for, I think, 18 months or more afterwards. Did it fade away? Yes, it did. But I think it was a very positive move, and I commend you if you were the one that actually organised that. I think you were. But again, I'd like us to get all the background to this so we know our ducks when we go and say, look, as a community, we would like to be given the same sense of commitment that the rest of the state's given.
Okay, and just to reply to that, all correspondence and emails sent to councillors, and what I don't send, the acting GM sends, so you do get all correspondence. There's not many times that you get paperwork. I don't get paperwork, and there's often like in a digest about 3-4 months ago, there was also where I stated what the Premier had put in his letter to inform everyone, community and councillors. And as far as the cabinet meeting, we Stephen and I worked together with those letters, and there has not been a reply at this moment. And I was going to announce in my mayoral announcements that I'm having a coffee with the Premier very shortly, and I will, I've asked Zishin to give me some information and costs and estimates that I will be sharing, and then I'll bring that report back to Council. So, Councillor Cassidy and Miller.
Yes, I'm
Sorry,
Councillor,
I missed you.
Secretary? Madam Mayor, if I could be so bold, since you're going to have a cabinet meeting, you're going to have a coffee with the Premier, I think it would be really, really beneficial if you could drag Stephen along with you, because he's across all of the issues, you know, and he could... I think he could put the numbers, put all the information right to the Premier. And, you know, you two guys, Mayor and General Manager, meeting together, like, you know, face-to-face with the Premier, I think it would be one hell of an opportunity, you know, to impress upon what Council is lacking, what we need from the state government.
I've no problem with that, but after I have the coffee, I'll be asking for the second coffee where I'll be taking along Stephen with me, and I will also be trying to get a cabinet meeting up here as well.
Well,
okay.
It'd be great if you could bring him to the first coffee, if I
could.
This
was just a coffee with the mayor, so I think we should leave as is. Councillor Hall?
Are council aware that the Premier was in Bothwell on last week?
No, I only saw it on Facebook.
It's a pity that you couldn't spend 5 minutes
It's a pity we didn't know.
And it's a pity we didn't know. It's a pity that they couldn't spend 5 minutes on that journey to meet with the mayor or the general manager to just address a 20-minute session with him. It just looks like focal points, right? We're not worth anything, but there's other focal points that are.
Good point. Councillor Miller.
Well, I was going to ask if I could come and have coffee with you.
Not this time.
Oh, okay.
Councillor.
So just a comment, Mayor. We can work particularly hard to keep the government interested or keep them thinking that Central Highlands is up here. They've got a stadium to build. They're going to strip every cent out of rural Tasmania to pay for it. And it's going to come up a little bit later with Taswater. They're going to do the same. They've got to move a sewage treatment plant. We have to work hard. And it's not just with the Premier. It's just with everyone.
Correct.
The one up here... yeah, that was sort of a bit of an elitist show, but we've got to get the people who organise that to think, you know, there's a community up here, not just a few elitist sort of...
But in our... can I just... in our community...
You've got once, that is...
Right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, any other councillors that have not yet spoken? All right, back to Councillor Archer to close.
So there's no one else? Mayor, that's Mayor, the whole correspondence thing, you know, we've raised in the last meetings. Councillor Miller has asked for all this table, the correspondence to be tabled with the lawyers. We've seen nothing. We've asked for these letters to be tabled. We're still not committing to doing it. We want the letters tabled. You know, we're entitled as councillors to be informed. My view is we're not. Table letters, let us support you, let us work as a group. No communication, we've been kept in the dark. That's not a fair go. Table the documents.
Well, that's an unfair accusation, Councillor.
No. Show me
and,
the documents. Where's the correspondence?
Excuse me, my turn to talk. You're quite welcome to any of the emails that I send you. Print them out yourself, go for it. But if I had an assistant, I would get them printed out and sit them on the table. So you know, when I get my new assistant, I'll be able to do that. So, all right, you're the mover, you've closed. Pardon me, I'll put the recommendation. Those for the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? It's myself. So obviously it's carried. Notice of motion, Councillor Meacham, mover. Seconder, please. Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Meacham.
I was reflecting, after I wrote this motion, I was reflecting on the fact that 20 years ago I was taking part in staff meetings via probably Skype back then. It's about time we joined the 21st century and made more available technologies such as Zoom and Teams meeting. I'm still in the process of a conversation, and thank you, Steve, for okaying this. I'm still in the process of a conversation with Stephen Conrad, who's shorthanded. I'd like to get a lot more details. I'll look at the quote. There are items in there that can be taken out, I believe, to make them somewhat cheaper. Last month, my travel claim came to $700. And it's indicative of, you know, how much travellers involved. When I used to go to audit meetings, I'd spend 3 hours in the car for a 1 hour and 1.5 hour meeting. This is a means by which we might be reducing those costs. Presuming of all of the future of local government review recommendations that are going before Cabinet, State Cabinet, presumably by June next year, probably the video attendance of meetings is probably the least contentious of those. I don't know. I will ask. Did Legat endorse that, please, Steve?
Yeah, they did. There's still some mumblings around closed session.
I know about confidentiality, etc.
Yeah,
which I don't think is any different to what exists now, anyway.
I don't either. No, but they're pretty precious about it.
Yeah, yeah, understood that.
Yeah.
So it's anybody who knows me well knows very well that I never push for additional spending between budget cycles. I think budget is the time to do it. If there was any flexibility in the budget between now and June next year, before the next financial year, I'd be pushing for this to be implemented. But as I say, I do need to get more details out of Stephen Conrad as to the capability, and in particular the reduction of the OH&S hazard. You know, normally, one, it takes Katrina many minutes to set it up. Two, there are cables draped across just about where Steve is sitting in the gallery now. It's not safe.
It's not good at Hamilton either.
No, even worse at Hamilton, probably, yes. So, just notice in relation to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy, you're the seconder.
Yes, some years ago, I don't remember exactly when, I approached this same subject, and I actually got quotes, I think, from Office Works for a system. But if we go along with David's suggestion here, then that's suggesting that we will move all council meetings to Bothwell instead of swapping as we have in the past between Bothwell and Hamilton. Unless we duplicate the systems and maybe have some sort of a antenna extender, signal amplifier, if you will, there in Hamilton to make it more reliable, that's additional cost. The other point that I want to say is, you know, I have, if I may say, you know, done quite a lot of photographic work with studio lights and everything, with wires draped on the floors. And you know what they typically do? They use gaffer tape, and they tape down the wires so people don't trip over them. And they have different colored gaffer tape, like yellow and red. That's a hell of a lot cheaper than $5,000 to $6,000 for a video conferencing system due to wires. But I mean, there are solutions. I think that we probably ought to maybe include this in February's workshop as well as the street, you know, or the I think if we could sit down maybe with Stephen Conrad there in February and have him bring some suggestions or proposals, that would probably serve us a heck of a lot better than us just shooting in the dark. But I think that we should have duplicate systems, one in Bothwell and one in Hamilton, unless we intend to close Hamilton down. And by only having video conferencing here in Bothwell, that's effectively what we're doing.
Thank you, Councillor. And just why the meetings have been alternated between Bothwell and Hamilton is to give the opportunity to all the Central Highlands to attend. That was the idea of it all, for those that are not aware of that. Councillor
Ora. So, no, I agree. I'd be a bit reluctant to sort of think now. We need to workshop this. I mean, I suppose the ultimate result of the ultimate outcome of the technology is that we could all sit at home and video conference, and the members of the public and the staff can be in the council room. That would be the ultimate, wouldn't it?
I could just wear my jacket and
yeah, you wouldn't have to wear your undies. Like, at the end of the day, that's the ultimate, isn't it? Like, we don't have to come to council meetings, just the staff and the members of the public.
I think that one of the reasons that Councillor Meacham's put this up, because there is a possibility that council meetings will have to be online. Some of that.
This technology, I can't speak.
Councillors,
but
let's
workshop it, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Any other comments, councillors? Now you can speak, Councillor Meacham, to close.
Oh, just to note that I have approached, as Katrina and Steve would be aware, I have approached Sam Marshall from NBN to work out what the difficulties are at Hamilton and what the potential is here for doing this. I should note too that the technology does allow live streaming. Now, not the recording, it wouldn't enable the recording.
Audio?
No, or live streaming of the conduct of the meeting.
Yeah.
That's within this quoted chair. So that would enable, you know, attendance by the public.
Yeah.
Again, and you know, back to my point about democratising our processes. I mean, this was about why we went after evening meetings, you know, to actually encourage the public to attend and for us to be, you know, much more transparent, literally transparent in terms of being able to be viewed during the day, during proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I will ask for a show of hands in favour of the recommendation.
Just a note.
It's just a note.
So show of hands for those in favour of the recommendation, please. I need to see show of hands. So are you showing your hand, Councillor Cassidy?
Oh, no.
Well, you're
it's only noting.
So show of hands again. Is there anyone against? That's probably an easier way of putting it. Councillor Cassidy is against. And I will go against, I feel, but we can go further than that. Notice of motion by Councillor Meacham. Moved by Councillor Meacham. A seconder, please. Councillor Cassidy.
But should Councillor Hall have to leave? I mean, it's only for noting, we're not making it.
It's up to Councillor Hall.
I'll the first step out of the room.
It's safe for that one. That's fine, John. Thank you.
It's the old-fashioned saying, in doubt, step out. So that's why Councillor Hall has decided to move. Councillor Meacham, over to you.
This is another instance of capital works, you know, where it'd be good to have a feel for how those capital works are progressing. So in DCM, in concert with Sustainable Tasmania, Timbers Tasmania, have announced this major rollout of cameras, fire detection tower. Now, for the sake of, I think in particular, Councillor Trafett, these cameras by day pick up smoke signals and automatically alert. And so there's one already out at Brady's Lake. When we were fronted by Jason Vinan, I think, and Rob Vernon quite some time back, they specifically said that a second camera at Blue Hill would better enable them to triangulate the location of fires.
Correct.
They gave the instance, and it was an interesting one. So by day, they're looking at smoke signals. By night, they're looking at thermal signals, which presumably would also be in the smoke, and alert them. They gave the instance where they phoned the landowner and said, do you realise you've got a fire on your property? He went out and found poachers around the fire. Yeah. So this is how really effective it is. Now, if we can get this in place in January, February, we would be covering the late fire. And I think of you, Councillor Archer, you're going to be vitally concerned here.
Well, for me, I won't speak until you finish speaking.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I think, thoroughly worthwhile. And while the rollout of the joint project between Indicium and Sustainable Timbers will take some time, Rob Vernon from Indicium is saying he could move with this in January and February. And the really good news there, when I put this up as a budget item last year, it was contingent upon securing funding for the operation of it over 2 years. Indicium are offering here to run it gratis for those 2 years. Okay. And in that time, we engaged with Sustainable Timbers, the wind farms, others, for the continuing funding of it. And I've already presaged this with David Rogers from Goldwyn.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cassidy, you're the seconder.
I think that if we look at the recent bushfires, I think we had 70 just recently here in the state, 70 bushfires, if I'm not mistaken.
What period?
Say again, please.
What period? 70?
It was just recently. You know, they had a Dolphin Sands fire that wiped out a hell of a lot of homes over there. They had the one down there that was blowing smoke across the moon and so forth.
There's 75 quoted as Victoria,
Tasmania, Victoria. Councillor Cassidy has a chair.
In any case, you know, it's quite obvious that we're being adversely affected by climate change, and this all fits in with our strategic plan and our learning modules that we had on climate awareness and all that. I think this is a good thing.
Thank you. Councillor Archer?
Yeah, I take on board what David is saying, and I've had some discussions with the GM about the opportunity to be using the marsh for other purposes if we didn't interfere with, obviously that's the primary goal and wouldn't want to interfere with that, but there may well be opportunities for us to offset some of the costs. Like a lot of the GPS systems require advanced ground stations, a lot of irrigation controllers require advanced ground stations, and there's obviously going to be a source of power to run this thing, and it would be great if as part of the discussion that council have the opportunity for other people to mount things on that mast were possible, and it wouldn't be unreasonable for a council to try and recover some of its costs if that were to be the case. And so I would like to speak in favour of the motion, but also add that in our negotiations it would be great to use it for multi-purposes once you've got power at one of these very high sites. I'm thinking that, you know, for emergency backups for people as broad as even Telfer, you know, until you've got them in place, it's a predicted measure of what coverage you get. Once you've got them in place, you know, and that will then give us a much better idea of how effective this mast in particular is.
Yes. How high is it going to be?
And we have a $50,000 budget item 2025-26. Councillor Aura.
So I think Indy can not imminently, but they're investigating, help me David, to extend it more into the Derwent region, and yeah, I mean this is just the first start of it up here.
Any other councillors? Back to you, Councillor Major, to close.
Well, just in response to you, Jim, I haven't seen the details as to where the other other masts are going to be installed.
Yeah, so do you remember that map they had?
Yes, that's right. Yes, they did. The coverage area. So. Yeah. It's a great step forward for us. We can secure it in January, February. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, I shall ask for a raise of hands for the in favour of the recommendation. Please raise your hands. That's carried. And Councillor Hall can return. Number 13, Council Acting as a Planning Authority, nil. 14, Ordinary Council Meeting resumed, not required. 15, Assembly Mayoral and Elected Members Activities, you would have read all those. And 15.1, I've already made the announcement.
We need a mover, don't we, on 15?
15, we need a mover and seconder.
Yeah.
Oh, where did I miss that one? Where is it? Oh, yes. Who was the mover? You, Councillor Major, was it?
Oh, I'll be happy to use you, that's fine.
All right. Councillor Cassidy. All right.
No comments on that, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy,
a seconder. Yes, I just wanted to say that though I only attended a portion of that ODAF conference, I found it very, it was actually very good. And also, I wanted to say that one of the most interesting aspects of that conference was a presentation on AI.
Yeah.
That fellow was just really outstanding, and and I think it's something that we probably should consider for our future. Yeah. That's about it.
And yeah, also thank you, Councillor Cassidy, for your presentation on dark skies. That was well accepted as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Councillors, any comments? Nope. Okie dokie, back to you, Councillor Meacham to close.
Nothing to state there, thanks, Mayor.
Thanking you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Alrighty, that is carried. 15.1, mayor announcements, which I made earlier. 16 is operational. 16.1 is health.
Can we just go back to 15.1, please, mayor?
15.1 was mayor announcement, yes.
So Marion's table, there's never been any correspondence in or out with agencies, letters in the last month?
No, only what you've received in your emails from myself or the acting GM.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Councillor. 16.1, health and wellbeing plan. Mover, please. Councillor Miller. Seconder. Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Miller, would you like to speak?
I'll just, there was something in here that I want to have a look at. Where was it? I think it was in Pat's report that the Hatches received confirmation from, yes, that's it, has been they've been provided with $50,000 transitional funding from the state government to continue until 30th of June 2026. So the state government.
Where are you reading?
That's from page 21 on mine. That's on that recommendation, the report from Cat Khan.
And what was it, sorry?
It was,
it's a top item.
Yes, the community development. Hatfield received $50,000 transitional funding from the state government, so that'll keep them going till the 30th of June 2026.
Yeah.
And hopefully then that the Premier's committed, but I'm not holding my breath, for Ash Project to become a neighbourhood house. So that's very good news for us. Very good news for Hatch and the community.
It is. Alrighty, Councillor Cassidy, you're the seconder.
I'm just talking about Kev.
Yes, have a cat, thank you.
Just, she's doing a great job, that's all.
Okay, very good. Any other comments, Councillor?
In regards to the 90 mile consultancy, they will be on Teams meeting, 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's to update councillors in regards to where we are with the childcare project that they're working on. So they want to get it all done and dusted by the 20th of December. So it's critical we have that. It'll probably be a half hour at maximum.
Yeah, okay.
When are we likely to see their output on in relation to that one?
So by Christmas close, they're hoping to finish the report, and
okay.
So any input that anyone would like to give. They've done a lot of the analysis, so for the options analysis, they've done a lot of the background work to that, but certainly the recommendations that come out of it can be guided by, as council's documents, so it's whatever we find useful.
Okay. Will that come out to us, please?
Yes.
Yeah. It's, I can't claim any familiarity with this, so it'd be good to be filled in. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Alrighty, Councillor Miller to close.
Yeah, there was only one other thing there, in the tourism brochure reported up to my mind that came in. I've brought it to the council that we update our Hamilton Walk pamphlet, and I'd like to be able to meet with Kat and Councillor Cassidy in being able to take the photos necessary and put together a Hamilton Walk, and maybe even update a Bothwell one as well. So that's in the tourist in there.
Can you put that as a workshop item, I think, so it can be discussed?
Yes. Yep, yep. That'd be good if we could do that.
Yep. I would have to declare interest, pecuniary interest or conflict.
What's
if you want to use my photography.
No, well, I'm using mine, but I'm donating mine.
Okay. Councillor Miller, your closing.
Yes. No, that was the closing. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kat, for all that. That's very good.
Good report, Kat. Thank you. Okay, I'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Alrighty, that is carried. 16.2, recommendation. Move it, please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Allwright. Councillor Honour, any comments about that one?
No, definitely a lot of places you can get the forms and that for nominating Australia Day recipients.
Thank you. Councillor Allwright.
No, it's all fine. That's what we do every year. I notice the nomination. We normally do it this meeting, but so we'll do it in January. Yeah.
Righty-o. Councillor Laws, Councillor Miller.
I noticed that there's been some emails going around concerning certain people for nomination. There was one there that he had been nominated and received
both of them.
Both of them. Mm. Yeah, so we need to look at that. But is January meeting going to be too late?
No, it'll be fine.
Right?
It'll be fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep, it'll be fine. But if people could think about, you know, what the people that are around their area see what comes up.
We do it by vote, don't we, Katrina? Around the table for Australia Day.
We normally have a committee.
It'll be done by vote.
That was scrapped last
year. That's right, it was too.
So it'll be done by vote around the table. Councillor Hall.
We haven't done the voting around the table since I've been a councillor.
No. Well, perhaps we should reintroduce that. Okie dokie, any other councillors? Rightio. For you to close, Councillor Honour.
No, all fine.
Thank you.
Done an excellent job once again, Kat.
Thank you. Okie dokie, those for you. Who's? Are you in favour?
I'm in favour.
Okay. Yes, those in favour for this recommendation. A little bit quick draw there. Okay, Kerry. Thank you. Operational matters, 17.1, works and services. Move it, please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
They have done an excellent job on the road. They're at the lakes at the moment doing grading and that. But all the roads I've travelled on in the last month have been Councillor Honour, and they've just been really good roads.
Very good. Councillor Cassidy, the seconder.
Nothing.
Councillor Laws. Have you got your finger up there?
I'd just like to ask Steve whether he could get Jason to talk to Josie or Eve, because I know she mowed around the weir at Hamilton, and that looks nice. But there's a blackberry bush the size of this building, right? And there's a log heap there that's been there for a couple of years, and there's heaps of gorse and stuff. It sort of needs tidying up a bit.
It's
a bit early for spraying that yet, but we should sort of look at that. And while we're at it, there's a mass amount of what's called California thistles in the wetland of ooze. So that's a bit of an eyesore, and Tony's not here now to graze it, so I think council's going to have to start managing that, and they'll need to get, my view is that Jason will need to get an environmental permit, because there's some sort of plants in that.
Yeah, right.
And with any luck, sensitive plants might have been killed by the California thistle, so you can just start mowing it then, or slashing it.
Okay.
I think that's probably a better spot to bring it up now rather than into doing a catchment report. Yeah.
Okay.
Councillor Meacham?
Just to endorse what Councillor Honour had to say, really impressed with the improvements to the roads, to the grading of the roads has been great. Thank you.
Yes, we do get some nice comments about the roads, thanks to Jason and the crew. Okay, any other councillor comments? Rightio, back to the mover to close, Councillor Honour.
Yeah, all good, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Honour has closed. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That is carried. 18 is operational matters, 18.1, monthly finance report. Zeeshan, you are doing a wonderful job with finance, I appreciate that. I'm sure councillors also. Move it, please. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. Councillor Cassidy, any comments?
No, Zeeshan's doing an excellent job. Very comprehensive reports. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Honour.
Yes, I have to agree with Councillor Cassidy. They're very comprehensive and easy to read.
That is the main one, eh? Yes. Very good. Thanks, Station, for that. Councillors, any comments? Councillor Miller?
Just reading the Bushfest numbers, they were good. They were excellent.
What was that?
The Bushfest numbers.
Oh, yes, that was brilliant.
I know that the CWA took more on the first day than what they did the 2 days the year before. Mm. So a thank you to everybody involved in that, because it brought up quite a few people.
Certainly did. Okay, Councillor Wolfe, any comments?
Just in terms of the budget items, you mean? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just I'm interested in the Bushfest, figures there, where we've got, if I can find it, it's on page 29, probably. It just looks, you know, figures look very attractive, that we've budgeted a council's contribution up to $113,000. It looks like it's going to need to be significantly less. Is that correct? Do you think your understanding so far?
So, as I mentioned in my expenditures, that they're in the bracket. Please be mindful that expenditure is not being finalized yet, because we are still receiving the remaining balance invoices from the people actually who actually work on that pushbacks.
Right.
So most likely, if you're looking forward to be having a final expenditures of that whole event, it's going to be in January.
Right. In your comments also, you mentioned earlier, go back a couple of pages, where you actually talk about capital items not being spent, and we'd only spent 8% of the capital budget because generally they're delayed. But I also presume some of them were to help us catch up with a budgetary error that we made, so I imagine that those funds won't be spent to catch up with an oversight that we had in terms of one of our budget items.
When we put the report to council, there is no effect technically on the budget. It was the capital items were plant vehicles that we were going to purchase.
Right, yeah. So are they reflected in these figures then, in terms of the 8% reduction?
They would be.
Right.
Now, it's the timing of doing the expenditure. What is it, the ceiling of 1,000 acre, Hollow yes. Tree Road, they're the couple of large items that exactly. We're going to do.
They haven't happened yet.
And they haven't happened yet.
But it looks like they will be able to defer some of these costs to make sure that the budget stays in.
And we'll make sure that it stays on track, won't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Any other
council? So the 20,000 is the one-off assistance, so we've got a budget next to 20 grand.
Hopefully next year we may talk to the wind farms and the likes and might get something out of them. We'll be looking at all options to actually cover that budget.
Any other questions, Councillor? Alrighty, the mover, Councillor Cassidy, would you like to close?
Yes, Mayor. Zeeshan, if I may ask, is it within your scope of practice to offer any suggestions how we may improve our financial position within all of the data that you've accumulated?
I mean, it's the councillors which way they wanted me to be summarized that. Otherwise, I can make graphs and those kind of tables for you, but obviously you don't want that actually in those reports. Otherwise, I did look on the other councillors at the same time, and previously before me, actually, the way actually been making up financial reports is similar to the other councillors. But now this time, all the councillors asked me to be making in a Word document, so that's what I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. But in case you have anything, other suggestions, Anything you want to be adding to that one, I can add it into that for reports.
No, I was just thinking, if, you know, with your mind, with your financial background and
yep.
your analysis of finances and so forth, you may have insights that we're not seeing because we're not financial gurus,
yep.
right? So perhaps you might come up with something within your analysis that say, well, geez, if you didn't spend this, or if you spend this on this date, that might serve you better. You know?
These are kind of reports I always have to be report to the deputy manager as a general manager.
Yeah.
And if they are agree on that, then obviously it's going to be the council meetings.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm working on the few reports which actually you requested earlier, like a few months back. I'm mm-hmm. still working on it because it's a pretty big report.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't actually realized initially, like, it does take a lot of time
mm-hmm.
because I'm actually mapping all single roads under the council by the Google Maps and find out actually where exactly that report exists.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can actually allocate it by the towns. So that hopefully that report is going to come in January. In the next council meeting, and with that report, actually, I'm going to be summarized that the half year reports as well. But other than that, if you have anything in your mind, like you want in that way to make up financial reports, I'm happy to be doing.
Okay. Just let's record it. Let's see.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. So now I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Okay, that is carried, thank you. 18.2, the recommender, I think it means council note, may not. I think there's a typo there, Katrina.
Sorry. Can I, Katrina, I did that.
Oh, well, I blame you then.
Can I, move that mayor?
Yes,
you can. Because that'll give me two opportunities to talk to someone.
Yep, no, that's good.
Question.
Okay, so it's council note the water and sewage. We've got the typo corrected. And it was moved by council, all right, second by council Meacham. All righty. Councillor, all right, you'll
remember. So effectively, Tab Water proposed 8.8% increase in their charges for the next every year for the next 4 years, I think. And they've got a sweetener in the sense that they're moving from about 16% variable water charge to about 33%. So the less water you use, you've got opportunity to save some money there. But it'll be overtaken by the rate increases over the next 4 years. 8.8, nearly 9% every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard somewhere that the regulator's not very happy about it.
No, exactly.
So I'm not quite sure where I heard that, but anyway, yeah.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Meacham, as a seconder.
Yeah, look, as a proxy on the Tasmania Board with Jim, gosh, there's a lot that they've got left to do, particularly on the sewage treatment side. The outputs are multiples of them are non-compliant, something like 80%
of them
non-compliant. I do think a steeper user pays element, I think that is actually quite a good development here. Quite interesting that the Tasmanian Economic Regulator doesn't support it, I'm surprised.
Well, I didn't say that. What I said was...
Oh, at the bottom of the list it says.
Yeah, at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
I was...
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. Alrighty, councillors, okay. Councillor Miller.
For those that weren't in Hamilton on Sunday night, we ran, well, we lost all our water. They said to 11 o'clock in the afternoon, it was about 3 o'clock, I think, before it came on. I'd like the council to find out what had happened. Because when I asked them, they said, oh, we didn't know, and it'll be this, and they're coming up, and they didn't put it on the outage. I said, well, you better put it on the outage because there's only phone calls, which apparently they did. But it would be in the council's
interest to find out any of these outages and what caused them.
Bit of background.
Bit of background in it, please. That would be great.
Stephen's already written that down.
Thank you very much.
We all do that one. Councillor Archer.
Mayor, I'd just like to note in the report, it talks about the inclusion of a variable sewage charge of 20%, which will be applied to estimates of sewage discharge volumes. That sounds very intrusive to me in terms of what they then measuring within the household. It was calculated by applying a discharge factor to metered water usage. The mind boggles at how this is going to be calculated, estimated, and put in place.
Do you drink more than you flush the toilet?
Well, you're in my suggestion.
Interesting. Councillor Cassidy.
Some time ago, I had come across information that Taz Waters, I think the figure is 30% they're losing of fresh water, something like that.
Yes.
I think
yes.
It's important for all of us in our travels, wherever we are, if we see a water leak, we should report it. And I got to say, I have done that. I saw water gurgling up out of a street downtown, and I report it. And what a pain to report. They just weren't interested. I said, well, just come out and investigate and see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, yeah. So, you know, if they want to slug us with these charges, they need to get serious themselves about addressing, this issue of losing water, you know, and broken pipes and so forth.
Thank you. Councillors? Back to the mover, Councillor Orr.
So, the regulator doesn't appear to be happy, hasn't accepted it, number one. Number two, they've reduced the water loss, so that's water loss through leaks and theft. From about 33% back to 25%. The industry standard is 12%.
Wow.
So they've got a fair way to go. And they've got kilometres of underperforming pipelines that leak and things like that. Sewage lines that leak. They've got 100 sewage treatment plants out of 110 that don't meet environmental requirements. They've got 300 dams that the dam regulators put their bids on them for. We're not going to get a cent out of Taz Water. Mm-hmm. They're a typical government business enterprise, administratively heavy, and they gold plate things. So their cost is the cost of providing services high. Councils, said before, some of the bigger councils, Kingborough, Glenorchy, but they absolutely rely on the dividend from Taz Water. If Kingborough doesn't get their 1.5 million out of them, the debt collectors shift in.
All right, so council all right's closed, and I will put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Are you in favour, Councillor Archer?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Carried. All right, operational matters. Oops, 9.1 doing catchment. Mover, please. Councillor Miller Meacham. Councillor Miller.
Good reading again, and what's happening. I'm expecting them to be inside the government. It's good reading in what we need to know what's been happening. Yes. I do like to see the that wombat fence extended, the two-way wombat fence existing in some areas. So that's good. I'm not too sure about the thing they've got on the trees to stop the possums. It looks a bit dangerous to me, but if it's working, I suppose it's working. But yeah, apart from that, apparently they did quite well at the Bushfest. The only thing that I'd say, I'm getting our gentlemen to have a look at it, is that the platypus walk, I know they put trees and stuff up there, but were they, are they entitled, are they responsible for doing the mowing up there, because it's quite long, it's above the fence, the dry grass, so that's the only thing, and our general manager's going to look into that for us.
Okay, you've already addressed that with the GM. Alright. The second was Councillor Meacham.
Yes, just to note that the community weed control program that we got a grant for, that Durham got a grant for, the Todd Holliday is tomorrow concreting the chemical cabinet in place. I'm told that the peak time, the best time for spraying is between about now and April, so we should have, I'm conscious that Steve Loring, who's also in attendance here, is one of the key holders on that cabinet, and it's a very positive move to be moving on that, to have the work done.
Well done. Well done, Steve. All righty. Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, I must have been asleep at the wheel. I missed that 3rd of December town hall meeting here that we had. Did anybody attend that?
That was the Willard one, was it?
Yes. Yeah. Did anything come out of that, Jim?
I didn't go, but can I?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It was community consultation. The first part of the clean up is from the Croker's Alley down. And they've got to coordinate with all landowners, so that was not only farmers but townspeople, so that would have, Anthony might have went, I don't know. But they've had an ongoing consultation program, mainly up here, but they've talked to a couple down around Hamilton. It's just part of the process.
Anybody get any? From our German catchment project, did anybody get any feedback from that town meeting general?
No,
what could you ask?
I think it's just information session.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. But
if I can also say, I didn't know about the 120,000 grant they got to continue the management of the ewes where they cleaned up there probably 7 or 8 years ago after the flood. But rivers are like everything else, to take management, and in response to Eve on the Doon catchment, I think Jason's got them on the whippersnippers before to go over the steep bank down by the caravan park there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Any other comments, councillors? Alrighty, I back to Councillor Miller to close.
Everything's fine. I just thought of the fact it's good reading and it's easy reading when we know what's going on.
Okay, thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Anyone against? Thanks, Ed. 19.2 emergency management. Very good with Jason and Barry. They do a wonderful job, and may I say, so does Adam, our deputy GM. In the past, have done wonderful jobs with emergency management. Could I remove it, please, Councillor Honour and Councillor Cassidy to second? Councillor Honour, comments, please.
Just well deserved for both of them. And an excellent choice.
Very good. Councillor Cassidy is the seconder.
I agree.
Councillor Laws.
Well, they're the only two that know the community really. They know where everything is.
They certainly do.
So it's just a no-brainer.
Councillor Laws. No. Okay. Back to Councillor Honour to close.
Yeah. No. All good.
Okay. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Okay, that is carried. Thank you. 20.1, Development and Environmental Services. A mover, please. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Miller. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to this?
There's not much to add, ma'am.
Councillor Miller?
No, there's nothing much to add there.
Councillor Laws? No. And a big thank you to Cathy. She does a wonderful job. So I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Rightio. Okay, carried. $20.2 potential dark sky reserve, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to this?
I'd rather defer to Damien. He's got all the knowledge there.
Okay, Doki. Councillor Honour, have you anything to say before I go to Damien? Damien, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor.
And I'll hand over to you for the moment.
Thank you, Mayor. This is really just an extension of the discussion we had in the council workshop in November. I had intended to have investigated this a bit more by now, but the more I looked into it, the more I realised that there's more into this. What I'm proposing to do is that have till March for me to go away and do some more research on this. And as said there, it's an investigation into this idea. I think it would be a fantastic thing if we could actually achieve dark sky reserve status, given that there's only 20-odd in the world. And to do so would be a fantastic thing for our tourism industry here. And as I've said in the report, this is an idea that drives regional tourism and drives overnight accommodation tourism in regional areas. I have opened up lines of communication with the New Zealand equivalent, Dark Sky Reserve, but I haven't got the information there on how that runs. As I've said in the report, it's not a council thing. It's a separate entity that has council with a seat at the table, but other people involved as well. But how it's funded and how it's managed, we need to investigate. And we also need to have more cooperation and discussions with relevant Tasmanian potential partners, including Tourism Tasmania, Destination Southern Tasmania, but the Tasmania chapter of International Dark Sky Association, and like-minded neighbouring councils. And there will be a report going to Southern Midlands Council in January. Because if we do have a dark sky reserve here, it would make sense to explore with Southern Midlands the idea of a bit of it extending over into Southern Midlands, especially to cover the University Telescope Research Facility there, because they're particularly interested in making sure that, for the next 50 years, the area around that is protected. And look, at the end of the day, it's really just about the right lights. It's not much more than that. But if we went for reserve status, we would be talking about having statutory protection for that. So something in the planning scheme, like an overlay. And I think I've noted in there that a next level down is dark sky community status, which is really a voluntary thing. And I think Northern Midlands Council are aiming for that. But I suggest that we, in the first instance, explore whether we can aim for the utmost level, because that has the sort of the sex appeal, if you like, for international tourists, and get our name up.
That's right. There. I think that we should lead this. Councillor, I delegated Councillor Cassidy to speak at the local government conference. He did very well, and it was well accepted. So I think. And I thought I'd be discussing about possibly us leading the way. I know that Hamilton Main Street would like some lighting, and I thought maybe they could have some shielded lighting. We could work with TAS Networks and whoever we need to to kick that off. So that's sort of something that's happening.
So, Mayor, the
ideas.
Yeah, one part of this is the idea of council having its own internal policy, which quite a few councils around Australia are adopting now. Even though a lot of councils are not actually aiming to achieve, any kind of dark sky reserve status, they're just saying, well, light pollution going up into the sky is something that we, in general, should not have, which was probably very much along the lines of what Councillor Cassidy presented at the LGAT. So I'm suggesting that I've called it an informal little working group, but at this stage I don't think we need to have any kind of formal council committee on this, but I would like to have Louisa and Jason Branch on a little informal working group, and I guess Councillor Cassidy, as an elected representative on an informal working group. When we get to the March report, we may feel there's a need to have a kind of a more formal councillor working group involved if we want to then go to another stage. But in the first instance, just an informal group. And I guess the other reason for this report is that I'm aware that my involvement here at Central Highlands is a project by project thing. So I'm just sort of wanted to get the clarity that the council's happy for me to. I'm suggesting one day a fortnight on this until March for my time to use that.
Yeah, it would require a motion, wouldn't it? This recommendation over with first.
Well, I've got it. I've sort of embedded in the report. I don't know if it needs an actual motion.
Quite clearly, we just need to massage our budget to make sure that we've got it covered. So.
Okay. All right. I'll take Stephen's advice on that. Councillor Cassidy was the mover. He handed to you. Councillor Honour was the seconder. Did you have anything to say on that, Councillor?
No.
Okay, Councillor Laws, Councillor Archer, and all right.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, but I do want to get balance in it. You know, I noticed that amongst the things that you've suggested in the report, which is great, that it's mandatory for all properties as an option, and I've got great concerns around that. I think you need to take the community with you rather than be mandating things, particularly for existing structures and infrastructure. And I think as part of your deliberations between now and March, it'd be nice to get an idea of what the likely impact would be on existing skylight and all those sort of things, just so that we know whether it's achievable. To me, what I don't want to do is put any more imposts on people building properties, houses. Every ratepayer is a good ratepayer. We want to encourage everyone in that we can, and I don't want to put unnecessarily high costs on new ratepayers. But if we can manage as part of the process, and you can consider that in your deliberations, that would be most helpful, because that's a trigger that's going to be driving my decision-making process, as well as thinking it's a great idea, and I think we all do, but it needs to be balanced with what's the impact going to be.
Thank you, Councillor. All right then, Major.
A couple of things. I was pleasantly surprised. I reckon all the street light pair of shields in there anyway.
could well be. Yeah.
And I suspect there's less needs to be done than what we maybe think. So but the thing is, a planning scheme amendment, they're pretty difficult, aren't they? They take documents this thick and words that long.
Yes.
So who's going to be doing that?
Well, yes, if the whole idea progresses to that, where we actually do get to a point where we say we do actually want to go for Dark Sky Reserve and not just Dark Sky Community.
So the reserve, I agree. I was initially a bit skeptical, but I don't think it would take much.
No.
And the most difficult part would be the planning scheme amendment.
Councillor Major.
Just in response to Councillor Archer's concern, just reinforce a couple of points. One is that none of this would be retrospective. It would all relate to prospective developments. And the second is the advice from Melinda Ryan from Coonabran-Barrabrand Council that the costs involved in a major building are so small as to be negligible. You know, in terms of, say, a $400,000 development, a couple of shaded lights outside don't amount to anything much at all. And she says there's very, very strong, widespread support in the Coonabarabran area, and I happen to have a son who lives there too. Very, very wide support there for the Dark Skies Preservation. And it is unique because they have a process there where major developments actually have to go to the director of the observatory for approval. We're not envisaging anything of the sort. It really is, as Councillor Allwright indicates, it's really just a matter of a change to our planning scheme.
Planning scheme, yes.
Easy as that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other councillor comments? All right. Back to you, Councillor Cassidy, to close.
Yes, just a few things. In part to answer Councillor Archer, in our previous discussions on this during the workshop, I believe it was, a counselor had pointed out about a security light that shines on his property. In fact, when I walk my dog all the way on the south side of town on Franklin Street, that security light is visible all the way down Franklin Street. Now, if we had a policy in place already, you know, that person would not have impinged upon all of his neighbors and neighboring properties. He would be required to focus that light and that light source explicitly for its purpose, security of his building, but not the entire neighborhood. So that's one point that I wanted to make. The other point that I would like to make is that I'd like to welcome Callie Lyons. You couldn't have come at a better time. This lady from Rathmore, the owner of Rathmore, and her husband Richard, they have had astro tours and events there, and unfortunately, I'm sorry, I've missed every one of them because I'm busy driving. You know, just think what this policy and the tourism opportunities that could eventuate would help an operator, a tourism operator like Callie Lyons. This is what this is all about, is, you know, we're looking for every tourism opportunity that we can grasp. It's all tourism dollars, overnight stays for Cali, for Ratho, for Nant, or whomever's got a facility up there at the lakes at the lodge, you know, James Johns. Let's think about them, okay? And I don't think this is going to hurt anybody retrospectively. It's just to preserve the dark skies that we have. That's all I'm asking.
Thank you.
And I'd like to also say, Madam Mayor, one more thing, one final thing. I'm willing to help Damien as much as I possibly can to unload him. I'm very good with research and so forth. Just load me up. I'm happy to help you. Okay.
Thank you very much. So Councillor Cassidy has closed. So I will put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That is carried. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Damien. That's very good.
Thanks, Damien.
20 is operational matters. 21.1 is the Bothwell Library renewal lease. Councillor Honour moving that. Second, and Councillor Miller. Councillor Honour, would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, it's very worthwhile because if they can't lose the building, we will lose their library.
Okay.
And it is well used.
Very good.
Yeah, and my books in there.
Councillor Miller, as you said.
No, I've been told it's very well used, and I mean, Hamilton's already lost their library, although we've got a street library that's really good. But yeah, we need to keep a library in the area.
Councillors, for comments?
I've used the library here myself, and I really like it. It's a nice little facility. And it's good for the kids in the community.
Okie dokie, back to the move to close, Councillor Honour.
No, excellent.
Thank you. So, in saying that, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Thank you, that is carried. 21.2 is a policy, prune vegetation vandalism. Policy mover, please. Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Miller, was it? Seconder? Alrighty. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to this?
No, I think these are just a renewal of these policies. There's not any changes.
Councillor Miller is the seconder.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's just a renewal to make sure that we're up to date with our policies.
Okay, over to councillors. Any comments?
Thank you,
Senator. Rightio. All right, would you like to close, Councillor Cassidy?
No, nothing more to add.
Thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That's carried. Thank you. 21.3 policy recommendation. Mover, please. Councillor Honour. Seconder, Councillor Miller. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No, just needs to be updated.
Okie dokie. Councillor Bennett?
No, that's fine.
Councillor Laws, Councillor Archer?
Yeah, I'd just like to ask the GM if he's reviewed the statement in here that it's in keeping with modified policies of other councils. Have you had a chance to look at any source documents, Stephen, that assertion is actually correct?
I went back to Adam when he was putting these to the audit panel and asked the question whether they were best practice or whether they complied with legislation, and he gave me a report and he's compared them with councils around us, and yeah, they do comply. And basically, there has been little or no changes to the bulk of it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Okay. Rightio, back to Councillor Honour to close.
No, all good.
All right, thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That's carried. Thank you. 21.4, policy. Recommendation, Councillor Mimmer moved. Seconded, please. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Mimmer, would you like to speak to this?
No, that's fine. I've saw it and it's something we need to update, and that's it.
Councillor Cassidy is the seconder.
I've always thought the code of conduct to policies is just a waste of oxygen.
Councillor Laws? Back to Councillor Miller to close.
The code of conduct, to me, is a safeguard.
It's nothing to do with code of conduct.
Well, the purpose of staff code of conduct policy, and it's the responsibility of behaviour of representing and working for the Central Highlands Council. Now, it is important that people know that they can go to work every day knowing that they're going to be respected. So, yes. I think it's very important that we have that, and
okay, you've closed now. So the recommendation, those in favour, please raise your hands. Carried. And thank you to Adam for all these. 21.5, recommendation. Councillor Meacham. Councillor, all right. Councillor
Leach,
would you like to speak to this?
The only thing I'd add to this is a note with the reference back to the earlier motion, or just for noting about video conferencing within meetings, that it does have a live streaming component to it too.
Yes.
And I do accept the council's discussion at that point that it's a matter that needs a thorough workshop and also some clarification from our IT provider. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Wright, as a seconder.
David just covered off what I was, but I suspect we'll be updating this earlier than what's it, 3 years or something?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No, I suspect we'll be updating it before that.
Yeah. Okay. Councillor Laws, any comments? Alrighty, back to you, Councillor Meacham, to close.
Thank you for your useful comments, Jim. I suggest that's probably after the state government moves on the FOLGR, and yeah, probably around June. So we're looking at August, September, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. Alrighty, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Karen. 21.6. Councillor Miller has moved. Seconded, please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Miller, would you like to speak to that?
Yes, this is a policy that is important, especially for going to be looking at childcare within the area. So, it's an important one that needs to be kept up to date.
Very good. Councillor Honour, you're the seconder?
Yeah, no, the same. Has to be kept up to date.
Thank you, Councillor Allwright.
So I think we, our first policy, we adopted that. That was a government recommendation last year sometime. And we just adopted a generic one, and this time we've worked on it a bit more.
Okay, councillors, any comments? Okay, back to the mover, Councillor Miller.
No, that's fine.
Opposed? Thank you. Put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hand. That's carried. 21.7, a mover, please. Councillor Allwright. Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Allwright, would you like
to... So I think this is the same. It was a recommendation from our auditors about couple of years ago, you might remember that, that we had to have a private works policy. And well, that's just another update.
Yep.
Steve might know about that too. No, but it might have been predated.
We did.
Yeah. It was just a recommendation from the auditors. We did private works, had no sort of structure around it, just did it whenever, work managers could fit it in.
Correct. Mm. Councillor Cassidy is a seconder.
Nothing good.
Councillor Major.
I only note this, that as an LGA, we're quite unique in that we are the only body that can deliver some of these private works, which is why it does need close attention to it. Whereas a lot of other LGAs, e.g.
Yeah.
Hobart, for example, or Glenorchy, probably stay right away from public, from private works delivery. Yeah.
Councillor Miller.
Just going on from what Councillor Meacham said to the private works, because we are so far away from other companies in town, I mean, they cost you a fortune, these private works is very important to the community. The only thing I'd like to see is being able to get some soil from them so they don't have to pay that much money to give the town. It cost me nearly $500. it is an important part of us as a council to help in the rural area.
Alrighty, Councillor Allwright, back to close.
So, just service, like everyone said. It's part of the service we provide in addition to filling potholes and rubbish.
Yep, thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Okay, thank you, that's carried. Mover for the next recommendation policy. Councillor Meacham, seconder. Councillor Miller. Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to this?
Yes, as proxy, I've kind of stepped away from the audit panel and left that to Councillor Hall and Councillor Allwright. I've been in a succession of organisations that provided credit cards to not just senior people but even operational staff, and I've seen some very smart people do some really dumb things with credit cards. If you do, and I've seen particularly for an organisation that I was in that was in financial trouble, they actually cancelled all the credit cards and then you claim your expenses relative to what you put on your own. And then they could accept or reject those. I do understand that functionally it's quite easy for senior people to have cards in this place, but I would say that there are pretty good audit requirements that should be sitting on top of this.
Correct. Thank you. Any other councillors? Councillor Harwood? Hang on, I'd like to second record these. Second to Councillor Miller, then it was Councillor Archer.
Yeah, it was as the corporate credit card is a good policy. It needs to be done because we've been stung once, we don't want to be stung again.
Okie dokie, Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I'd like to have the General Manager's views on the implementation of this policy, particularly in regard to things like limits, whether in your view the credit card system that we have could be improved, would you like to see changes, are you happy with the way it goes, do we need it at all, could you just give us a short dissertation on your views on the credit card thing, please, Chair?
If we start off with do we need them at all, I don't dispute that comment. The only problem is there's a lot of things that we purchase that we do, you know, ring a firm to get them delivered, and therefore they want to be paid straight away, and the only option to do that is to do the payment through the banking process or with the use of a credit card. There's substantive controls in the use of the credit cards that we currently have. They're not substantive limits. There's probably one that probably needs to be increased from where it sits, because a lot of the things that are purchased on that specific one relate to, you know, getting services provided to the council, and that's got a $1,000 limit, and probably a $2,000 or $2,500 would probably be a better way to go. None of the payments that are done on credit cards, they've got to be signed off by me, so all the invoices and the likes have to come with those documents. So yeah, and that would be the same thing with any other person that uses one. If you don't provide the invoice to cover what it's paid for, you'll pay for it yourself.
And in terms, sorry, I'm here to keep quizzing Stephen about this, but in terms of the detail of the policy as you read it, that gives you the flexibility that you need to go manage it properly, well, to have the flexibility to increase it. It sounds to me like you need a few more grand on one of the cards. This policy allows you to do all that. We don't need to change any wording.
Look, to turn around and say that every policy we put to council is absolutely perfect at day one is a bit naive.
Well, it's just your chance to fix it now.
Yes, but the thing being is that it's been put together on the basis of how it's going to work for us at this point in time. There's always going to be something that will come along that will mean that, okay, no, we've got to do this because some companies change their practices. So, yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy, then, all right.
Yes, sir. If I may ask, Stephen, could you tell us who currently holds a corporate credit card here in the council?
Well, there's Adam, there's Jason, there's Katrina.
Jason doesn't have one.
Jason doesn't have one. That's predominantly it, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, well, we sorted the one out for the mayor yet?
We haven't got that sorted
yet. Okay. Well, that's the reason why I didn't say the name.
That's only used for accommodation, so don't panic about that. Okay, any other councillors? Councillor Orloff.
Certainly an efficiency gain. I mean, you can't buy anything unless you've got to pay for it immediately. I mean, you can imagine Jason being in, or work manager, someone being in town needed some supplies. They haven't got them there. We were going to count. They've got to go there.
Yeah, I can't believe Jason doesn't have one. Doesn't need it to make.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. Yeah.
He knows probably do it through Adam or Katrina.
Yeah. But in terms of the two elected members that are in here, the general manager told me there's not enough to go on. Not enough credit there to go on a Caribbean holiday. So.
Definitely using.
So.
I can also add, sorry. A lot of the purchases that I do make with a credit card come with grant funding that we get, so it's making purchases from places that you can't get an account with, like Shiploads or Kmart or Target or places like that.
Thanks, Katrina. Alrighty, no further comments, so we'll go to the move of the close. Councillor Machin.
Yes, just speaking as somebody who used to actually do the reviews and the approval on off of claims, the predicament, you look at a claim and it's not for a taxi, it's for a limousine, and you're always doing this calculation, is it really worth chasing it up with this person that this was, you could go back and say this was not appropriate, but the easy course is to actually pay the damn thing. It can, as I say, I've seen too many smart people do really dumb things with credit cards, but I do accept, particularly in professional stuff, I think it's pretty, and the multiple signing, I think since our fraud incident some years back, the multiple signing I think is a good safeguard against it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. So, Councillor Meacham's closed. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Alrighty, that is carried. Thank you. 21.9 recommendation, Councillor Miller, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Miller.
Yes, the
there's only two things that I'd like to bring attention to this, and I'm in favour of the night meetings, was that one, 5 p.m. can still be a bit hard for people to get to, and I'm talking mainly about Councillor Cassidy. He would not get back until what, 5:30? Cassidy, you wouldn't get back to 5:30 if you had to drive back.
Probably more like 6, I'd say.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering whether we think about the time that we start. And the other one would be, I was asked by the CWA what would then happen with their, well, we wouldn't have more than 2 for lunch. So their question was that had we decided whether we would have supper or anything like that coming from there. So they're the only two things I can see about it. But I do like the night meetings, and if Councillor Meacham is quite prepared, and Councillor Hall is quite prepared to come down once a month, especially in the winter time, in that time, then go ahead with it.
Okay, Councillor Cassidy, second it.
Oh, well, so, geez. We just had a meeting here today, and we had a consultant from Southern Midlands Council. And how would you like to come? You know, we'd have to pay this man's overtime, or Jason's overtime, or the DES manager's overtime, or Katrina's, or Kathy's. You know, we're going to be charging ratepayers more money to conduct evening meetings. Plus, what are we going to be paying for a supper meal? I mean, you know, the optics, I think, of this is not very good, because, you know, we already go on, you already hear the public go on about, you know, snouts in the trough and so forth, and they're going to put on a 5-course meal for us or whatever. You know, I think we should be looking for ways to cut costs, and, you know, to have meetings during the daytime when people are available. Council employees are available during normal working hours. We don't have to pay their overtime. Consultants are available to come and present to the meetings, as Mr. Damon Mackey has. You know, I think that we need to consider all of these people. And also, you know, an argument was made the last time we discussed this that, oh, it's going to attract more people at next election. Well, dig this. Every morning that I drive my wife to work at the hospital, there's a gentleman that works, he's a mechanic at Tilford Ford here in town. And on the other side of the municipality is a young man who works at a specialist car center across from old KND as a mechanic. Now, these two people, what if they decided they wanted to run for council, but they don't finish work until 4:30 or 5 o'clock and they start their next shift very early in the morning? They're leaving here at 7 o'clock in the morning to beat a Hobart by 8. That means they're probably up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, you add to that, and then add to the work health and safety risk of driving, especially when you're tired, in the dark. And finally, we don't make our best decisions when we're fatigued and we've been at work all day. You know, I'm a morning person, and I think it was Ben Franklin that said, early bed, early the rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Did it work?
Yeah, it worked.
No, just thanks, Councillor. I've got Councillor Major more right now. Next, Councillor Major.
Look, I've heard so many eye arguments in relation to this, and the original motion that established the evening meetings was concerned with the democratisation of the process, to make it more readily available for ordinary employees to attend. I'd note, across Tasmania, evening meetings are the norm. It's what I worked with Wyonshire Council 20 years ago, plus, no, hang on, too long ago. What I worked with them there, and the standard, the span of ordinary hours generally runs until about 9 o'clock within the wards, so there probably aren't any overtime responsibilities.
And whether it's firms who want to make presentations or professionals who want to be in attendance at meetings, they are available at those times. You look at the moment, the only regular members of the public who are in attendance are the press, Mr. Bester and Mr. Loring. That's it. Allowing, you know, evening meetings would allow a lot more community participation and attendance at our meetings. I thoroughly endorse, yet again, you know, that we put a lot of work into putting this motion through. Oh, but I am very sympathetic to changing the time, as Councillor Miller suggests, from 5 until 5.30 or thereabouts, because it would enable those of us who are most remote to be able to attend on time.
Thank you, Councillor Allwright.
So I think we've sort of strayed a bit off topic, but nevertheless. It's mentioning here a 5 p.m. start, but you've got still got written down here AGM 9 a.m. So that needs changing. We wouldn't have the AGM on the Tuesday, the 15th of December next year at 9, then hang around. There wouldn't be enough coffee involved. I'm saying, like, that's just.
We note that you want to change that to. That'll be 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
we've got plenty of time to address that. We might as well do it now.
There's been no decision made yet. There's no decision
Sorry,
made.
Sorry, can I just add that when the new elections happen in October, this will then be brought back up on the table. So
yes.
Anything from the October or November onwards.
There's plenty of opportunities.
Okay, we have some speakers waiting. Councillors waiting, Councillor Honour, Councillor Archer.
Right, did Council review that they are actually responsible for any damage to motor vehicles if they're not meeting?
If they're not meetings.
Night meeting.
The real issue is that quite clearly, workers' comp relates to councillors as well, or doesn't
it? No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
No.
Quite clearly, no. No.
Right. Well, can I hire a helicopter to fly me?
Look, the thing being is that quite clearly the debate we're having now is in regards to the meeting days, the dates. It's got nothing to do with the time. The decision has already been made in regards to time.
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Archer.
Yeah, in regards to the days, I think we've got typos. That Tuesday the 16th of February is a Monday. Tuesday the 16th of March, I think, is a Monday. Can we just have a look at what I haven't marked up on my calendar? I've tried to enter it, it keeps coming out Mondays. Either I'm having trouble with my jolly iPhone.
Which dates are that?
So February's ordinary meeting, 2026.
It should be the 17th.
Thanks, Kevin.
So the Tuesday's correct, but the date's incorrect.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
What was the other date, Kevin?
Oh, well, I checked the March, and again, that's a Monday, not a Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, February the 17th.
It's just those 2 days.
And what was the March date?
A good bit of detective work.
Yeah.
You should have gone the wrong time. You should be detective.
You just didn't want to do what the Department of State Growth did yesterday.
You might have taken your bed, though.
I do know the chap from State Growth who came along, and it doesn't surprise me you didn't get any positive answer there.
I only picked up the 9 a.m. There you go.
Okay. Now, the only thing is, I think we need to think seriously about councillors, is OH&S, as I mentioned a long time ago, cost to ratepayers, resources, staff, and I think there should be estimates of any extra costs than that before we make a decision and or put it out to the community. And when we get the community feedback, we will know whether they wish to have a evening session to come along to, or like today where we have two in the gallery. So I'd like some feedback from the councillors on that.
I've made a decision.
Sorry.
The decision has already been made for 5 o'clock meeting.
Who made that? It was made at the last council meeting. So what's the recommendation?
The recommendation is for the dates for the council meetings, not the time.
Oh, well, I'm hearing that there's issues with the tie.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why that came into the debate.
All right, so we'll... Councillor Miller has moved, Councillor Cassidy has seconded that Council, by absolute majority, approve the below meeting dates,
yes.
Correct?
Yes,
yep. Yes.
That's it.
Okay, absolute majority, is that 4+1 or everyone?
One more than half of the number of councillors to be elected to a council.
That would be 5. We need 5 to correct. Support, is that correct?
Okay. That's for the meeting schedule.
This recommendation. Sorry, Councillor.
No. Debate's closed.
No, it's not.
No, it's not, yet.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
That's fine.
All right. Yep. All right. So I'll go back to Councillor Miller to close.
It was my fault we were talking about the times because I've brought up the time and the issue from the CWA on the morning or afternoon teas that we need to look into. But I think that going on what Councillor Cassidy said, people who work can't come to the our meetings now. They can't be elected for council unless they take time off. If we have it at a night time, not only can they come to the meeting, but they can also be elected.
It's an hour drive. It's an hour drive.
Councillor Cassidy.
They don't have to come from Hobart. I mean, there are people that live and work within this area that can get here on time. I think that we're looking at the dates, and apart from the two dates that we had coming on the Monday instead of the Tuesday, the dates are fine.
Right. Councillor Miller has closed. So those in favour of the dates, please make that clear because it got a little bit muddied along the way with the discussion. So it is about the dates, moved by Councillor Miller, seconded by Councillor Cassidy. Those in favour of the dates, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against the dates?
I'm against the whole damn thing.
It's only the dates, Councillor. Alright, so that's
only one against.
Councillor Cassidy against.
With amendment to the dates for February and March.
Yes.
And
the time on the
thank you very much for joining.
Yeah. 21.10 office Christmas close. Yeah, mover please. Councillor Honour. Seconder, Councillor Meacham. Very good. When is the barbecue? 23rd is the barbie. I normally cook with the help of any councillor that's interested in getting a bit greasy and fatty. So that is all good. Moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Meacham. Councillor Honour, any comments?
No.
Councillor Meacham.
This is very standard in the course of the previous practice. Thank you.
Very good. Any councillors? No. All good. So I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Okie dokie, that is carried. The draft strategic plan. A little bit of spelling there, I think.
You still can't blame Katrina for that.
Blame me for that. That is good. Recommendation to move the place. Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Allwright to second. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to this?
I thought it was very well done. Yeah. A lot of thought went into it. And I sure wish...
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I sure wish that I had such a plan like this in 2014 when I first came to council. You know, I mean, it gives us so much to look forward to and aspire to, and gives us a direction to go in. And I discussed it with Steve and Matthew, and before this, we've been treading water. You know, we haven't, I don't think there's really any direction or guidance that this is provided.
Thank you. Councillor
Wright, is a second. No, it's all fine. Can I suggest that we have a discussion on the February 3 workshop? Can I remake that? Because the submissions will close on the end of February, and we've sort of got a reminder. Everyone's got to remind themselves. So can I just list that as a... Thank you.
What's that again, Jim? I missed that.
Every workshop, we go through the strategic plan.
We go through it.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, on the third, I think that workshop is. Yes.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it gives us direction for the next 5 years, so we've got to make sure.
Alrighty. Councillors, any comments? Councillor Major.
I note Martin Farley is very expert into all of this, and I've had some correspondence with Martin in relation to it, and I very much accord with what he's written.
Very good. All right. Without a doubt, I'll go to Councillor Cassidy to close.
Nothing more to add.
All right. I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Consideration of agenda items to the agenda, obviously.
Sorry, I've just passed around a supplementary item.
There is a supplementary.
You need time to read this piece now.
Yes, I'll give you a couple of minutes of that. It's by report by the government officer.
Are there copies for the public?
Are there copies for the public? Anyone, Kate? You
sure?
Yeah. No, excuse me, Carly, are you involved with this?
Yes,
that's what I thought. Were you hoping to speak to it if asked the question?
I was told there wouldn't be an opportunity, but I can answer any questions on it or elaborate. But I think it's most of it's covered here, the number of businesses I represented.
Okay, so you are happy if I allow questions to you?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, councillors, another few minutes and then we'll go ahead with this.
Can I move?
Yes, you can. Councillor is ready to discuss, or you then need a few more minutes? Someone answer?
Yeah, we're ready. Yeah. We're ready. Well, some can read faster than others.
Well, I welcome Carly and give permission if councillors have a question for Carly. She's quite happy to answer. This has been moved by Councillor Cassidy and seconded by Councillor Meacham. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to this?
Well, I'd rather just defer to Cali and to Kat. And I've just got to say tourism, any tourism is good.
Can I just add that one of our lunches is going to focus on the dark skies. the speaker from there. I'm planning a series of four lunches on a variety of things, from thylacine to whiskey to railways to the night skies. So we cover a variety of things, and there's at least 8 or 9 operators in this Central Highlands that partake quite actively. And it's a wonderful thing to get more visitors into the area.
It is.
And it's, while it's focused on April, you know, people sometimes can't make April, they'll come later in the year. So that 1 month gives, an opportunity for promotion for what we do about the Central Highlands offer. We collaborate with Dirla Valley because most people go through both areas. They don't just come specifically to Central Highlands, but they will do both areas. Mm-hmm. And the ideal is to keep them longer in the area. That's the secret. There's no use these day trippers coming on a day trip, or the cruise ships that come out a couple of hours. That's a bit of a waste of time, and there's not enough money goes into the area. If they can come for a few days and they go to a variety of businesses that they just love and can't believe how much there is in the area, so it is important to get them here.
Exactly, thank you for that. Second, there was Councillor Macon. Do you have anything?
Yes, just for those who were in attendance, I'm not sure you were at the consultation at Rathmore. Sorry, at James Johns made the point. He said, if I was a fully rational businessman, I would close down completely over the winter months.
Mm.
And that's the dilemma. This is great in terms of pushing out that sort of maximum occupancy time for all the tourism operations in the Central Highlands.
People often ask me what's the best season to come, and I just say they're all booked, and I'll highlight a few things.
Yeah.
It's not just one season, we're just wonderful, autumn's glorious,
And for dark skies, actually, winter is often the big highs and the clear skies.
And so many people ask us about it.
And we should be doing more too on Aurora tourism development.
Yes, that's very popular.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Memorat. Then, all right.
I've talked to a few people down to the Hamilton Inn, down at the cafe, and to consider a lot of them come from Queensland to witness autumn and winter and snow. It's absolutely enormous. They do come inadequately dressed,
yes,
but they like to come down.
I often have to lend them a jacket or two.
We've sent them up to the op shop before the day, don't
they?
I wanted to know if it was, you had it last year. How successful have you noticed in your business with this?
It has been successful, the numbers have been good, but it's building because it was a brand new concept 2 years ago, and last year was even better, and this year we plan it will be even better. It's just getting the word out there slowly, and people have heard about it from previous years, and they just don't realise how glorious the autumn is and how different it is. But yes, we're getting more and more Queenslanders and West Australians that come for the change of seasons. Yeah. And the dark skies and the winter experience.
Okay then. Councillor, all right.
So council support for this slipped through the cracks last year. I don't know how that happened, but it did. So we supported the first year. And so
they didn't ask us last year.
No, that's what I'm saying. It slipped through the cracks somehow. I don't know.
There was a bit of an issue of the first request into Derwent Valley. That was a bit of a hiccup.
So there's a hiccup last year, and we didn't support it. But, so I think the application came in too late, if my memory was correct. This is great.
Yeah. Thank you. Without any further ado, I'll go back to Councillor Cassidy to close.
As I just said, and support Joe Cowley and David's comments, tourism is good. And we need it.
Thank you. Now, those for the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? That is carried. Thank you very much. Rightio. Without any further ado, thank you everyone for your contribution, and I declare the meeting closed at 12:05.